Morning Watch, Romans 13 through Romans 16, Romans, week 4, Saturday. Related verses, Romans 16, 1 through 5a, 23a, 20, and 25 through 27. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a deaconess of the church in Centuria, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever she may have need of you, for she herself has also been the patroness of many, of myself as well. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And greet the church which is in their house. Gaius, my host and host of the whole church, greets you. Now the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, that is the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept in silence in the times of the ages, but has now been manifested, and through the prophetic writings according to the command of the eternal God, has been made known to all the Gentiles for the obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Related reading. In summary, we may list these five aspects of the church life: serving the church, risking our lives for the church, having the church in our home, never considering the church as anyone's church, but acknowledging that it is the church of Christ, extending hospitality to everyone in the church, and being a host to all the churches. In his greetings, recorded in Romans 16, Paul unveiled the crucial indicators of the proper church life, both in a particular local church and among the churches. His greetings also underscore the qualities of many of the dear saints. Thus, in Romans 16, we see the churches in localities and the details of the genuine church life expressed in the attributes and virtues of so many saints. This is a complete portrait of the ancient church life. Once again, I say that in Romans, we do not find the doctrine of the church. We behold the practicality of the church life. Hence, the ultimate consummation of the gospel is the church life. What a great contrast there is between Romans 1 and 16. In chapter 1, we see sinners, people that are evil, unclean, and condemned. In chapter 16, we see the churches that are holy and glorious. There is no comparison. How did vile sinners become glorious churches? Through the lengthy process revealed from chapter 1 through chapter 16, the process of redemption, justification, sanctification, glorification, selection, and transformation. As a result of a long process, sinners have become glorious churches, churches that are holy and yet so practical. After the greeting, which shows the fellowship of concern among the saints and between the churches, the apostle declared that the God of peace would crush Satan and would crush him soon under the feet of the saints who are in the church life. This indicates that the crushing of Satan by God is related to the church life. If we are not in the church and do not practice the church life, it will be difficult for us to have Satan crushed under our feet by God. The church life is the strongest means by which God overcomes Satan. Whenever we are separated from the church, we become a prey for Satan, for it is difficult for us to fight Satan individually. But praise the Lord that when we are in the church and we are one with the body, Satan is under our feet, and we enjoy God as the God of peace in the church life. We experience and participate in the peace of God by our victory over the troublemaker, Satan. As long as Satan the troublemaker is not under our feet, it will be difficult for us to have peace. When he is crushed under our feet in the church life, we have the peace of God as a token of our victory over him. So both the crushing of Satan and the peace of God are experienced in the church life. Following his declaration that God will crush Satan under the feet of the church people, the apostle gives his blessing to them, saying that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would be with them. This indicates that it is in the church life that the grace of the Lord Jesus is dispensed to all the saints. A great many believers miss this grace because they are separate from the church life. We all can testify that we have a rich enjoyment of the Lord's grace when we are living in the churches and practicing the body life with all the saints. The church is the place where the Lord dispenses his grace and where we may partake of it. The church is not only the place where we have Satan crushed under our feet and experience the God of peace, but also the place where we enjoy the rich grace of the Lord. Let us read 16:25 through 27. Now to him who is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept in silence in times of the ages, but now has been manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the command of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations unto obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This concluding praise is like a melody. Paul refers to God as the one who has power to establish you. In Romans 16, our need is no longer salvation or sanctification. Our need is to be established. Everything has been accomplished, and we only need to be established. We are not established according to doctrines or dispensational truths, but according to the gospel, the preaching of Christ, and the revelation of the mystery. Oh, how the saints today need to be rescued from the divisive doctrines and dividing practices and to be established by the pure and full gospel of God, by the preaching and ministering of the living and all-inclusive Christ, by the revelation of God's mystery. Only the pure gospel, the living Christ, and God's revealed mystery can establish us and keep us in unity for the church life. This mystery, which has been kept in silence in the times of the ages and has now been revealed, is mainly of two aspects. One is the mystery of God, which is Christ, who is in the believers as their life and their everything, that they may become the members of his body. Another is the mystery of Christ, which is the church as his body to express his fullness. Therefore, Christ and the church are the great mystery. Romans firstly tells us how the believers have been baptized into Christ, how Christ has been wrought into the believers, and how the believers have put on Christ. Then it reveals how all these believers are built together into one body to express Christ. Thus, the churches have come into existence in many cities in a local and practical way, with all the saints loving one another and fellowshipping with one another among all the churches to express the body of Christ for the fulfillment of God's mystery. This is the ultimate consummation of the full gospel of God. It is through this that Satan is crushed under the feet of the saints, that the grace of Christ is dispensed to all the saints, and that the glory is and will be to God unto the ages of the ages. The eternal God has made known this mystery to all the nations unto obedience of faith. In Romans 15 and 16, God is called the God of endurance and encouragement, the God of hope, the God of peace, the eternal God, and the only wise God. Our God is a rich God in many aspects, in endurance, encouragement, hope, peace, wisdom, and being eternal. And the gospel in Romans is the gospel of such a rich God. The gospel of such a rich God consummates in the practical church life. Hallelujah.